I am so happy to be at this church once again. Maybe almost 3 years. I came before 3 years, something. I came here. I know many, many people. And I know this couple since a long time. My brother says the control of his home and everything is by his wife. When my wife says, yes, I come to India. So, wives are very, very important. Even my wife too. For me. You know, why I married actually. I was having my first wife. We have children and we lived good. But later on she fell sick and she passed away. I never thought I will marry. But later on when I saw the situation of the church needs a mother, a woman who can talk to women and who can do, the things what the men cannot do with the women. I tell you one example. At the time of Corona, the church has come down. We had to close also. So what I did, and you know what people, in India, church people started to sleep on the cot and watch the messages from the TV. Now they don't want to come to the churches. They got used to happy life. And great preachers come into the TV and preach them. You know, they are not our pastors. Pastor is, shepherd is different from the preacher who preaches from TV. And there is no fellowship like this. People will not come and join and talk and all that. And the flow of the Holy Spirit will not be there when it is a TV message. The flow of the Holy Spirit will be here when the preacher or the pastor is preaching. So I have to do something and I started like this. I told my people to, this area people to come at this time, certain time, at this time and take the Lord's Supper. So I divided groups. This area people should come on so and so date between 9 and 12 and they should take the Lord's Supper. So divided areas and people responded. Then we started the church with keeping the chairs at a distance. And but church was there, but people were not, all the people did not come back. So what we did, and that's my wife is a leader for that, and we made two groups, two teams, women team, team number one and team number two. There will be about 12 to 15 women in each team, and we have a van. So in the van, we push all the ladies, and my wife is the leader, and she takes all the ladies to different houses. That is from 9:30 to 4 o'clock on every Monday. One team on one Monday, the next team on the other Monday. So they go from 9:30 to 4 o'clock, and they may meet the ladies. Some of the ladies go for work, but others will be at home. And when this team of ladies go and pray for them and meet them, the women who are at home were so happy. When a group of ladies come, they talk to her, they pray for the family, they pray for the needs. Not only that, women has many problems.
I'm not saying a word about it.
But they cannot share the problems either with the husband or the pastor. So when a team of ladies go like that, they open their heart. They share their problems and they pray for the problems. So it worked very good. And the church people started to come back. You know, when the women come, naturally the husband has to follow her footsteps. So now the church started to come back and it's working. Two teams, and the women team is very blessing, great blessing to the church. Then we started to, we have women's meeting on Wednesday. But, you know, four, five, seven women used to come. Before that, a good number of people used to come. So what we did, when we did the same way, on Wednesday, this area people will come, and those people, those women only give the testimony. Rest of the women should come and join in prayers. That worked very good. Now, good number of women are coming to the church. And you know, women important. They are the backbone of the church. Men will follow the women all the time. So we learned certain things, and my wife was very good. She works hard. She makes talk with people. She's nice. So, because, you know, women's talk came, I just shared that. Okay. So, I have a video. I brought it, and we'll show that. You know most of the work, what we are doing in India, and you are a part of that work. Every time you support that ministry, the ministry in India, we are grateful to Pastor Jaron and Brenda and to the church people. And you came sometimes 2, 3, 4 times. You came to the India and you are part of that. And you jumped into that big dam. They scared us, you know, in India. They came to India and they scared us there. You know, big river full of water, and suddenly five Americans came. We took them to show the dam. And they jumped over the dam out of that boat, and they started to push it up and down, up and down. We were looking to God, Father, have mercy on us. Control these people. They are excited. Praise God. We have a wonderful time. We went to some deep places, prayed for people, prayed for different. A lot of opposition in spite of that. Traveled a lot. So that's how what we had, and we have a good relationship. It's the relationship what we have with you. And in India, we'll show the video where we are working with old age people and helping them financially, and also by giving monthly ration. We are working among the flesh trade, the prostitutes. And life changing, their life are being changed. You know, I tell you one example. One young lady was there. She's very beautiful. And she had 2 children, but she's a prostitute. So I called her. You see, you are making money out of prostitution. I talk to them openly. They don't mind because they accept me as a father or a pastor. So I talk to them. One day your children will grow. They will become big people. And if they know that you have raised them with the prostitution money, they cannot raise their faces in the streets. They will be ashamed. So I will help you. I will, she studied up to 10th grade. So I told her, I'll put you in the computer class. You learn that for 6 months or 8 months, the basics. Then I'll pay for the tuition fees of your children. I'll pay the ration to your home. I pay the rent and everything for 1 year. And after that, you find out a job and live yourself. She completed the course in 6 months. And in another 2 months, she got a job in a college, front desk officer. And recently, she came to me and asked me, Father, do you remember me? Yeah, why not? She had name is Vasanta. And she said, now I got a government job. See, life-transforming things are happening in India. Great, great things. In India, some places, pastor has visited certain places on the mountain. And also we went to Orissa. Yep. Okay. In some places, the water is not available. They, you know, in the ditches, there is sand. They push the sand and there will be water. Underneath that, they collect the water and they take it to drink the water. The government neglected them because the rigs won't go to the mountain areas because it slips down. If the rig is slipped down, it cannot be pulled back, and so many problems. So government neglected them. And the pastors in those areas approached me. They said, Pastor, we need a water well in that area. When we surveyed that area, it's very difficult, we know. But I talked with the rig people. For one bore well or two bore well, they said, we cannot come because of the cost of the diesel is very high. And also, if any problems comes, if suppose it is slided down the rig, it is very difficult to get it back. So they said, okay, we'll put 4 water wells in that area in different villages. We call the pastors, we tell the people, we call the people also, we tell the people because of this pastor. We came to this place to dig the bore well for you, the water well. And so the pastor is the key person whom we want to lift up in that community, that the people will recognize the pastor. So we put 4 bore wells like that in some areas. Very, very difficult to get water. In one area, the pastor was trying to preach the gospel. He had a church. He wanted to go to the streets, but they were so furious. They burned his church. They asked him not to preach in that village. And I know some of the village heads in different areas, so I contacted and I told them, okay, I told this pastor, whom they objected not to preach, okay, what we will put a few water wells in that area. Tell me where is the need. So he told me the need, where the need is there. We went there, we put the water wells, we prayed there, we gave the water to those people. And then I told this pastor, whose church was burned down, and go and conduct a prayer meeting right in his village, and a meeting for the gospel meeting. And I told him, I will come and preach there. So he conducted a gospel meeting, and I went there, and I started to preach. Some of these village heads from this village, that village, they came. They sat down there. They know me, but they wanted to hear what I'm talking. They never heard the gospel. And when I finished that, you know, I was talking about the prodigal son. Then when I finished that message, they said, Pastor, we don't know all this. We don't know about these things. We thought that's white man's religion. That's why we didn't want him to preach here. Now we know, let the pastor construct his church. We'll cooperate with him. No problem. And also, Pastor, please come to our area and conduct some meetings. We'll arrange the meetings. So a community service is opening the doors for the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. We do the service to the community, but people understand the love of Jesus. So there are many, 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 many things are happening. We conduct gospel crusades, meetings, house meetings, and different things. And so I request my brother Jack, please show the video, and then I will talk to you and make a living, help a little help to the family. And also we give our blood, we collect blood from different people and give that to Rotary Club or Lions Club because they have the preservatives. We have church people come and give blood. Also at the same time, some of the college people, young people come. About 100 liters of blood every time, every year. We collect that and give it to the Rotary Club or Lions Club. And at the time of need, you know, if a woman is at the time of delivery or accident, they need the blood, they come to us and we write a letter to those club people and they give the blood free of cost. And we have the medical camps. We regularly do the medical camps to hundreds and thousands of people free of cost. So the doctors, you know what the doctors in India say? They say, doctor, pastor, you have done a great thing. If anybody comes to our hospital, we won't leave him and we'll charge him a lot of money. But because of you, we could able to go to the street, sit there and do a free service to the poor people. Because of you, otherwise we won't do any free service to anybody. So doctors cooperate in that way. And so many other activities you have seen. The leprosy people, pastor has visited leprosy camp too. We are going to dig a borewell for them. We have to put a tank for them. There are so many things to be done for them. They requested maybe before Christmas or around. So likewise, many things are going on. Please pray for us. That is not only our ministry. You are a partner with that ministry. Thank you for your partnership. Hallelujah. Today I am going to talk about the promise of God. God, you have a promised land. God said in the book of Genesis chapter 15 and verses 13 to 15, God talked to Abraham that you will go to your ancestors' place at a good old age. That's the promise of God to Abraham. One thing, the promise you will go to the grave at a good old age. That means you are not needed to fear for your decisions, your memory. You will have good memory. You will have good strength, good life. Comfortably you will live. And at the good old age, you are not needed to be worried what is coming up, what is coming up. Good is coming to you all the time. You know, in the book of Psalms also, God said that 91 and verse 16, he said, I just want to read that one. I'm not very much conversant with the English language. Pastor told me, be careful of your English language. My people will not understand that. So I am looking that. Psalms 91 and verses 16. If anybody has taken, please help me. Verses 16 says like this. What God said to Moses. What he said? Verses 19. Yeah, here it is. 16. With long life, I will satisfy you and show him my salvation. That's the promise of God to Abraham. With long life, good memory, good strength. You are not needed to have fear for corona. You are not needed to fear for what has happened, what will happen after 10 years, after 20 years.
Right.
Or if I go to the road, some accident may happen. No, don't fear that.
Right.
Don't allow the fear to come over to you. I will take you. You will go to the grave at a good old age. And the other promise, what God has given to Abraham there in the book of Genesis chapter 15, not only that I will take care of you, I will take care of your children.
Right.
Your children at the fourth generation, after 400 years, Matt, after 400 years, I give you this land, my promise, this is your land. And your children will come to this land after 400 years. And it is their heritage. So God has promised Abraham with the promised land, promised with good health and prosperity, and also he promised that your children may have problems, they may go into darkness, they may have corona-like things, but I will take care of them, and after certain years, 400 years, I'll bring back them to this promised land. So that is a promised land. That's a promise of God. And we are also not needed. We, the promises of Abraham belong to us. So we have the same promise. We will not, we are not needed to die of corona, this and that. We'll have courage. We'll live with God. We'll have the happiness. And God will give you, give, protect us all the time. So God has a promised land for you and for you. He has a concern for us. God said, I will be with you until the end of the... I will be with you wherever you go, until the end of the world. Bible says that you know, Moses, what he did, God heard the cry of the people of Israel. Raised a great man like Moses and sent him. And under the leadership of Moses, the people of Israel came out of the dark land, the Egypt. They walked through the Red Sea. And God's hand was with them all the time. So they came to the boundary of the promised land. This is the promised land, God said. So they came to the boundary. And then Moses took 12 leaders of the 12 tribes and sent them to spy over the land of Israel, the promised land, the Canaan. So all the 12 people went there. You know, that's the promise. What promise God said? There you will have plenty. The milk and honey will flow there. In reality, even our pastor, your pastor and my pastor visited Israel. I also visited Israel. No milk will flow there. No honey will flow there. That is a land of abundant life. There you will have all the wars like gold, iron, silver, and everything. They will have plenty of water in that land. If you plant a seed, in a short time, the seed will give the grow and it gives plenty of fruits. That's the land where we get the result, where we have the abundant life. The climate of that land is good, we have good health in that land. That's the promise God has given to the people of Israel. So they went, they spied over that, they saw all the land for 40 days and returned back. And 10 spies said, they came back and they said, the 10 spies brought some grapes. Grapes of a size of oranges. And marveled. They said, yes, we have seen that promised land. That's really a great land. See the grapes. That's an incredibly productivity land, productive land. Then they started to say some excuses. They are saying that the people in that land are strong. And they gave four excuses. They said that we cannot enter into the promised land because the people are strong. They saw the people. Then they were telling that they have a superhuman army. Thus, Anak, you know, the giants are living in that country. Giants, the children of Anak, they are superhuman army. We cannot overcome them. We cannot fight with them. So the second excuse, what they are saying, that we have seen the giants in the land, and the people are strong, backed by a strong army. Then they said, there are thick walls around the cities, a strong wall. We cannot break the walls and penetrate into that land. So it was a strong land. They said that the land that they inhabit, it's a people. They are scared of the terrain of the land, up and down. You know, God said, that will be a mountains and valleys will be there. And I will pour water from the high skies, and the land will drink the water. There will be plenty of groundwater in that land. And that's the reason why you get a lot of food, lot of crops, lot of fruits from that land. That's what God said. So, but these people were looking only to those people, the strong people, the giants, the terrain of the land, and also the fort. And they were selling that. Then they said, the land that the inhabits will eat up all. They are scared. They are full of fear. They have not focused on what God has told to them, what God has promised to his great-great-grandfather, what God has done in their life just before coming to this land. The Red Sea was parted. Miracles after miracles happened in Egypt. All the great miracles happened. The people have given their substances, their gold and silver, and they asked the people of Israel to go away. Go away from us. They were so much scared. And in spite of knowing all that, they are not focusing on the promise of God. They are focusing on what they are seeing. So that is where they are failed. They are getting failure. God said, I brought you out to take you to a land of promise, for where the milk and honey will flow. God did not bring you because to become stagnant at one place. God did not brought you out to be intimidated. God did not brought the Israel out to be frustrated. They were murmuring against Moses. They were murmuring against God. Oh, we would have died in Israel, Egypt. Why should you brought us here? So, and also frustrated. God has saved us with a purpose. God did not save us just to murmur, to be disappointed, or to be lonely, like not like that. God has brought us with a purpose. God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a purpose that they will inherit the promised land. My question this morning is, what is keeping you out to get the promised land? Many people, many things they are bringing us back. They said the walls, they said the giants, they said the terrain of the land. And so in reality, the territory or terrain of the land have never kept them not to enter. They blame on gents, they blame on the wall, they blame on the strong people, they blame on the natural circumstances. There is one answer for this. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 19, God said this, in the books it said, they could not enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. They did not believe the word of God. They believe, did not believe God has what God has promised to their great-grandfather. They did not believe anything. They were believing what they are seeing. Because of their unbelief, they could not enter into the promised land. If we don't believe the word of God, we won't get healing. If we don't believe the word of God, we will not be prospered. If we don't believe the word of God, we will be living in sick and sickness and sin and problems only. All the time, we will not have a victorious life. You know, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6 or 7, the king went to Elijah and he was asking for, there was famine in the land. And Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, you will have plenty of food. The food will be sold at the gates at the cheapest rate. But the commander who was with the king, he said, if God opened the doors of heaven, would it be possible? It's impossible. That's what he said. And Elisha said, you heard the voice of God and you did not believe the word of God. Because you did not believe the word of God, you will see that those people, your people, will be enjoying the food. They will get the food at the cheapest rate, but you will see that, but you will not enjoy that. That's what actually happened. The commander was commanded to check at the gate of the, the Syrians left all the food. They were there. He was to control everything, but there was a stampede. He was seeing people were coming, taking rice, taking food, taking everything. Happily, rejoicefully, they are going. But he was stampeded and he died. Because he did not believe the word of God, he died. So, that's what happened with the people of Israel here also. They did not believe the word of God. They were going round and round and round with frustration, stagnation, no hope, and that generation has to go. So it is very important to believe, unless the word of God says, because they could not enter the promised land because of their unbelief. Unless people will be get healed before our eyes, but we won't get healing. People will be prospering before our eyes and we will not be prospered. People will be getting new cars and we are seeing that, but we will not get a new car. Why? Because you did not believe the word of God. God has saved us from sin so that we will have prosperity, we'll have good life, we have peace in our life, we will be a testimony for the living King of Kings. But many people do not believe the promise of God and they are suffering. You know, that's what my pastor said. One time I was alone, a banker. Now a lot of ministry is going on. With these hands, I have baptized more than 7,000 people. I have preached to lakhs, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Led many, many people, hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. You know, when we believe, we'll see the result. Hallelujah. Joshua said, yes, for me and for my family, we will serve the Lord. We'll believe the Lord. You know, nobody, I don't know what the names of the 10 spies who said a wrong report, bad report. Nobody takes the name and nobody puts the name of those 10 spies. But you see, there are Joshuas in our community. There are Calebs in our community. Because they believed the word of God and we inherited their name and we exalt the name of Joshua because he believed God's word and led the people to the promised land. So this day, nobody remembers their name. I'm concluding now. When they wanted to go, they were looking what they reported finally, from the book of Numbers 3 and 33, it says, they were looking themselves and they were telling, We are like grasshoppers. When they were comparing, they said, we are like grasshoppers before them. Not I. You see the difference. All of us are like grasshoppers when we compare to them. They are strong people. We are grasshoppers. We are all. You are a grasshopper. You are a grasshopper. Your children is a grasshopper. Your grandchild is a grasshopper. We are useless fellows. We are good for nothing. We cannot conquer anything. God said, go and conquer that land. That is your land. God has given us the spirit of victory. Jesus Christ is the God of gods. He is a conqueror. He conquered the death, he conquered the devil, he conquered everything. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And he said, go and take the land. And we are saying, we are like grasshoppers. We cannot go. Giants are there, they are there, they are there. Many people say many excuses. God said, go pull down the strongholds of the enemy. Kill the devil, kill the enemy. And we are not killing the enemy. We are hiding behind that as grasshoppers. They are telling we are grasshoppers. The big problem, they have a poor image about themselves. We are the children of God.
Amen.
God saved us. God has given the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. God said, I will be with you all the time. No fear. The fear overtook everything. They said we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Many times, many people say like that. She's not good. She cannot work for us. He's not a proper person. They will consider like that. They have an improper respect for each other. He's a grasshopper. He is a grasshopper. So God said they could not go in because they saw each other as a grasshopper. We are not like that. We have been saved by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. We are the children of mighty God, the creator of the whole universe. The stars, the sky, the oceans are being created by God. And we are his children. And we are not supposed to think like that at all. We have a positive attitude. We will have victory. We will conquer the enemy. We will enter into the promised land, and that will be ours. God said that will be yours. You will be blessed. You will be prospered. You will be happy. You will have the happiness, peace. The Holy Spirit will guide you all the time. So let us be like the children of God, like what he wants. He saved us from the sin for a purpose, from the darkness for a purpose, that we will exalt the name of God and pull down the strongholds of the enemy. And I bless this church. Your pastor is he's a military man. He's a victorious man, and he's being anointed by God. And you are under the great leadership of a great man and great woman. Naturally, you will all win. You will all enter into the promised land. God has promised for you. God bless. Praise the Lord.